So yeah, the Christmas season is upon us. It looks like that outside, of course, and it's this Advent season we find ourselves in, as the Christian church, as we think of the waiting of Jesus, the waiting, that time of Advent, that excitement, that time of waiting for the Messiah, of course, the very first Advent. But as we're finding ourselves during this Advent season, I've confessed this to the worship team. I got to confess that it's hard to come up with a fresh Christmas sermon. Let's just face it. You've heard it before. You've heard it been preached before, the Christmas story. You've read it yourself, I'm sure. You've studied it yourself. And I've got to confess, it's tough to come up with a fresh idea about an idea that we've talked about for probably as long as you've been born, as long as I've been born. And so as I was preparing this week, I'm praying, and Lord, just bring something fresh to my mind. Bring something fresh to my heart that I can share with a congregation as I normally do. And so I found a really interesting idea, a really interesting thought that I'm just going to jump into this morning. And as I found this in the Christmas story, we'll see how it applies at the end, because I'm not sure what Holy Spirit is going to do. Because this is just something that we can give him this time as say, Holy Spirit, speak to me in ways that I can't even clearly communicate. And so that's my prayer for us, for all of us this morning. And so as we think of the Christmas story, the Bible gives us limited information on the Christmas characters. Now I don't mean to dumb it down, you know, like the Christmas characters, like it's a fictitious story, but there are characters in Scripture that we see throughout the Christmas story, and one of my favorite characters, if you will, is Joseph. Joseph is really, because I can identify with Joseph. Sorry, you probably thought that Jesus should be my favorite character in the Christmas story, but I got to admit, it's Joseph at this point. Because I can identify with Joseph. I can identify with what he's going on. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about Joseph, the father of Jesus, the husband of Mary. That doesn't really give us a lot. He's described as a righteous man, however. And so really, it really excites me right off the get-go, because if I'm going to learn, or it, just like if any of us, if we want to learn from someone or study about or kind of shadow someone's life, we want them to be righteous. We want somebody to be doing something that is right. At least that's for me. If I'm going to seek after someone who can help me in my ministry or who can help me in my spiritual walk, I'm going to seek after somebody who's righteous so that I can emulate and follow and be discipled by that person, and as I was in the past as well. But to see, Joseph was a righteous man, the Bible says. He was a carpenter by trade. He was from the lineage of David through Abraham, so we know that he had some really good genetic stuff going on for him. He was from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was betrothed to Mary. We don't know how, we don't know why. I'm sure my wife would love to know how they met, right? And those girly things. How did Joseph and Mary meet? Why were they betrothed? I mean, there's so much in the Christmas story that we are not told. And it's quite unique. But there are some things that I want to share with you today that I found pretty interesting. I'm in Matthew chapter 1. If you're following along, I'm going to jump around a little bit today in our scripture. But Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And so I want to talk about this morning the four dreams of Joseph. The four dreams of Joseph. And you're thinking, really? Wait, what Joseph are we talking about? We're not talking about the Old Testament Joseph. We're talking about Joseph of the Christmas story. He had four dreams, and I want to bring them up today, and we're going to talk about them a little bit and dissect Scripture, if that's okay with you. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, was being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So for that which she has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, and what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translate means God with us. Verse 24. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. So we see that of course Mary and Joseph were betrothed. They were to be married. For some reason, they were connected together. Those two were to be together. But Joseph, upon learning the pregnancy of Mary, concluded that she had been unfaithful. And so he was like, I'm out. There's no way. I'm out of here. She's unfaithful to me. She's pregnant. Who else is she messing around with, right? Can you imagine what Joseph was feeling? This would be a natural conclusion for any man, any fiancé, woman or man. It just doesn't happen this way. And so you've got to figure out what is happening here. See, interestingly enough, the angel assured Joseph in a vision or a dream and simply said, Mary, she's been impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and he's got to be thinking, I know I'm dreaming here. Is this a nightmare? Am I really hearing you say this, that she's still a virgin and she's been impregnated by the Holy Spirit to have a son called, what? God with us? Really? So this is crazy, crazy dreaming stuff. You ever had a dream where maybe you ate chocolate before bed, or maybe you ate something that was just not going well with your body that night, and you have these crazy, weird dreams? I know I have. You go and you just wake up, you're thinking, that was so real. Oh my goodness. Some, it may be a fun dream, but others, it may be a scary dream. And you actually wake up thinking, oh my, did that really happen? Well, so Joseph had a dream, but yet I realized, and I figured that he realized this was the truth. This was not just a dream, but this was a message from God. And so as we think of this first dream, Joseph believed the angel, and he married Mary and kept her as a virgin until she was gave birth to Jesus. I thought that was pretty interesting too. Let me say this PG. Can you imagine, guys, that you marry a wife and you're not allowed to consummate the marriage until after the baby's born? Let that sink in. I mean, really. I mean, you're like, what? Now we're married. It's legal, right? We get to do things. Ladies, don't look at me like I'm a pig. Come on. We're all human. Can you imagine Joseph is like, really, God? We can't consummate the marriage. We can't. Wow. Joseph's my hero. What a guy. And so I found that interesting that Scripture was specific and said he kept her a virgin until the birth. Because I think there's something very, very important there. The virgin birth of Jesus. I mean, he was a special, special person, a special human. And there had to be no doubt in anyone's mind that he was born of the Holy Spirit. So the second dream that he had, that was the first one. The second dream that Joseph recorded, or Joseph told, and basically it's recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. So this is after Jesus was born. This is after all of the stuff that's happened that you guys get it. You guys understand what Christmas is all about. This was after Jesus was born, and Joseph experienced dream number two. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, after the wise men were gone. So this is like that time where, you guys remember, anytime you have a holiday and family comes over, you've got dinner, you open presents, and everything is so exciting, you know? And then you have this, pardon the expression, but you have this Christmas hangover, right? And it's not a hangover from alcohol, but it's just a fun hangover. You're just like, ugh, everybody's gone. That was so fun. I wish it never ended. This was such an amazing time with family. We opened presents and we got gifts, and now what? It's just over. And so this was that time. Jesus and Mary got the most amazing gift, the child. And so at verse 13, after the wise men were all gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now get this, here's the message. He said, get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Now, really? So Christmas just happened, and now you get this dream. Joseph gets this dream that your son has a hit out for him. Someone wants to kill your new baby. Not a good dream. Not a good dream. Number two dream is not fun for Joseph and Mary. So basically saying, go, get out of here. You need to leave because someone wants to kill your child. Now, I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. Just a story for fun. It's not really fun. We were in my first ministry position. We were, Rachel and I, and we had just had Claire. Claire was probably, 2 years old? Something like that. One? A baby. They're all the same when they get. Anyway, we just had her. And so she was this amazing gift to us, and I was just an assistant pastor. I was working with youth and music at a church at my first pastorate, and I was we were just full of life, and everything was going great. We've got a newborn. We'll call it a newborn, 2 years old. I think she was two. Anyway, and so as we're going through, I got the mail one day. I was just coming home after work and after being at the church office, and I got the mail one day, and I saw this note. It was a handwritten note. It said, you better watch your back. It said, you better be careful, something like that, because I'm going to kill your baby. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? I showed it to Rachel, and we were both like, wow. Are you kidding me? And it was just like one of those things that you just felt like, what do we do? What do? We call the police? Do we report this situation? I was more like, I don't like conflict in any way. And so I'm just like, oh, it's just a joke, you know, or we're youth pastors. Kids are kids, you know. There's one of our teens just kind of being funny. And then Rachel, in all her wisdom, of course, said, what are you thinking? This isn't a joke. This isn't a joke. And so it was scary. It was scary. When you get a handwritten note in your mailbox, and I'm like, I should have known. I should have quit ministry right then and there. I should have just been a farmer or something. Should have known. I'm like, wow, this is what ministry is all about, dealing with hurting people. And so as we thought about that and the story, I honestly don't remember what we ended up doing with that, but I think we reported it in some way, and it was nothing. Nothing ever happened with that, obviously. And it was just one of those things that I believe like Satan caused fear in our lives. He just wanted us to fear. He wanted us to, you know, he didn't like what we were doing. He didn't like that we were doing ministry to kids that were like, we called them street kids. They were just kids that they had no love at home. They had no family at home. They just were rough. It's kind of like that kid that we learned about in the news this week from Oxford who shot the school up. I actually lived in Oxford for a while. My parents lived in Oxford, and I know that area well. And so as we think of those students, we're just thinking, man, there's some hurting people. And all Satan wants to do is just put fear in our lives. He just wants us to just be scared of life. And so I just wanted to share that with you because I know what Joseph may have been feeling. Somebody wants to kill your child. Can you imagine? So Christmas is over. And he's basically saying, he found this, that you got to get out of here because your child's life is in danger. But I thought this was interesting as I looked into this, and I thought about, as I looked into this passage, Joseph believed the angel, and it was, all of this was to fulfill the prophecy found in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. out of Egypt did I call my son. And as I research this, I won't take a lot of historical context in this, but it's an interesting prophecy as they had to flee from the evil one of Herod. Jesus and his parents had to flee to Egypt. And as we think about this, and Hosea chapter 11 talks about, out of Egypt I will call my son. So historically, Israel was called the son. Israel was, were these words referring to God calling Israel out of Egypt? So is this kind of mirroring something that we've known before? That the children of God, the Israelites, had to go into exile into Egypt because there was danger, there was fear, there was death, and it was imminent. And so as we think of this repeating theme throughout Scripture, it's quite interesting to see that Jesus, his family, had to be removed, the Israelites had to be removed and escape the hands of Herod. And so as you see this theme throughout Scripture, we realize that God is trying to paint a picture here. God is painting a picture that there's an evil one that wants to kill us, wants to do harm, and God wants us to go into a place of protection within his arms. God wants us to go and to be in protection. He's leading us into safety. And so bringing it to our lives, bringing it to ourselves, is that Satan's the evil one that wants us dead. Satan's the one that wants to mess with our lives. And yet God brings us to safety, letting us know. And so Matthew affirms this and understands that this was a prophecy that God's only son was, again, this example of one trying to kill him and then God leading and bringing them out into safety. So the third dream. So Joseph gets this dream that you got to get out of Dodge because your son's going to die. You need to be protected. What a beautiful protection of God. Third dream, Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. It says, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for those sought the child's life are dead. All right, so again, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, had to flee. You guys know the story. Had to get out. Had to be safe for a while. And we're really not told. I mean, I guess I could have looked it up a little bit more, but not sure how long that was. How long that was to Herod had to die. And so the angel said in a dream, this is dream number three, Herod's dead. Go back to the promised land. Are you seeing any kind of, I mean, go back now. It's safe. You're safe. And so Joseph arose, took Jesus and Mary out of Egypt, that land of protection, and now back to Israel. And so as we see this, we understand that Joseph is really obeying every step of the way. Fourth dream, his fourth dream, Matthew chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said. He will be called a Nazarene. And so God warned him in a dream, don't go to Judea, but go to Galilee and go to the place where you know. And so he withdrew into parts of Galilee, which we call Nazareth. And of course, this is to fulfill a previous prophecy that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. And so you kind of say, okay, let's land this plane here. Let's figure out what are we learning here? I mean, the Christmas story is full of some great things. And of course, as we look at Joseph and the way that he ordered his family, one thing really stuck out to me, and I wanted to share that with you, and I want you to, hopefully it really, really hits you the way it hit me, but you see, Joseph was a man that when God spoke, Joseph listened. When God spoke, Joseph listened. You see, when God spoke, Joseph obeyed. When Joseph was fearful and doubting and disgusted and angry and hurt, when Joseph had all of these, I mean, he went through this period of time understanding that his fiancée was pregnant, all the way to his baby boy was about to be killed, to where he had to go to a land that he had no idea where he was at, in Egypt. Through the whole time, Joseph obeyed. He simply said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want me to do." And so as we take this lesson this morning, as I think about this lesson, I mean, can you imagine if Joseph disobeyed in any one of these areas? Think about it. I know I'm not sure if I would have been hitting 1,000 here. How about you? Now, any one of these areas, you think you would have obeyed the angel of the Lord? Would you have obeyed God's direction? I would have had so many excuses. I'm telling you, I would have been blue in the face. But God, wait, are you sure? I mean, how many excuses have you given before when God asked you to do something? But God, just a minute, are you sure this is what I'm supposed to do? When God lays something on your heart for you to do in a ministry situation or in your family situation or a work situation, but God, are you sure you want me to do this? How many of us would have been doing as well as Joseph? I can't say that I would. I know that I probably would have been done at your fiance's pregnant. I would have been done. I'm out. God, there's so many other guys that would be willing to do this, and I'm done. How about you? As we think of Joseph's four dreams, I mean, there's so many different things. And again, there's so many things that I think that God asked Joseph to do, I'm not sure I would be as good as Joseph was. And that's why he's a hero of mine in the faith. What a great example of obedience. What a great example of someone who just simply said, "Yes, I'll go." Now the Bible isn't clear. Maybe he struggled with God. I'm sure he did. He's human. Maybe he struggled a lot. But the fact of the matter is that he obeyed all four times. Think of the many, many ways that Joseph could have disobeyed, and what was the result in turn? What would have been the result? I mean, our very Savior, could have been killed as an infant. Mary, the virgin, could have been discredited for her part in the entire Christmas story. Oh no, she wasn't a virgin. She was already married. No, I mean, think of how many ways. Now I'm here to lift up Jesus, of course. I'm not here to glorify Joseph as deity in any way, so don't get me wrong. But what a great example. What a fantastic example of a holy man of God, a man who was righteous and did the right thing in obedience to God. And so I ask you today, as we think about this, what would you do and how have you been dealing? What is God asking you today? I mean, it may not even be something like, here, I'm going to just, you have the Savior of the world within your womb. I mean, God's not asking you to do that, I don't think. But I'm saying, what is God asking you to do? Where is he leading you? What's he directing you? What's the nudge in your heart that he's asking you to do for him? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to trust? I think that one's harder. Are you willing to trust God? As the band comes on up this morning, as we kind of close our time together with a song, and my hope, my encouragement, my plea, my point, whatever you want to call it is today, is that I want you to trust God, and I want you to obey God. I'm preaching at me today as well. If God calls me to something, if God asks me to do something, which is the smallest thing, sometimes can be the hardest, I want to encourage you that I'd hope to say that, yeah, I'd say yes, but there's times that I struck out as well. And so as we think of this Christmas story, this part of the Christmas story, I want to encourage you today to say yes. Say, yes, God, I'll do whatever you ask because I'm your servant. I'm here to be used by you. Let's stand together. So I don't know if there's somebody in here today that just really is, maybe you're searching, maybe just really digging, trying to dig deep in what God wants you. This is that time just to kind of say, God, direct me. There's been times, honestly, I've prayed, God, would you give me a dream, right? Give me a vision. Would you speak to me audibly so I can hear your will? And then there's other times and where it's like, I know God speaks in the still, in the quiet, in the reading of his word. And so I want to encourage you today to seek God and obey. Let's pray. Lord, as we have come today, we're just so thankful for the Christmas story and how many different little nuggets of truth there are. I pray, God, this morning that there would just be an overwhelming sense of your Holy Spirit moving in people's lives. And so, God, today we want to say yes to whatever you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.